Today's podcast is brought to you by the Gen 40 Heater. Reduce your heating bills today and save $50 with code word HOWIEDEAL. To order, go to EdenPure.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, New England. Happy Friday. It is snowing here in Massachusetts. I hope everyone is having a lovely day. We have tons of news to get to. As always, we're going to bring you the sound cuts you need to know, the tweets you need to read, and everything in between. I want to start with the story that is really shaking the liberal media to its core. I don't want to say this is the next Watergate, but this might be the next Watergate. Ted Cruz, as everyone knows, yesterday had to fly back from Cancun because the senator was caught red-handed. Texas is going through this awful power outage storm disaster, and Ted and his family flew to Cancun. It was a terrible, terrible decision on his part, optics-wise. I don't think he's like a bad person for it. I think he's a bit of a dummy. I think he's one of those guys who's very, very, very bright book-wise, but not common sense-wise. What does Howie always say? You can always tell a Harvard man, but you can't tell him much. That's Ted Cruz in this situation. So he flies out. And here's the thing. He's a senator. And in most of these situations, the people who can actually do the most are either the governor of Texas or the president. So I'm not saying Ted Cruz would have been able to do a lot in Texas. I've seen that argument floated around, like, you know, he wouldn't have been able to really help. But my take on that is, when I moved a few months ago, my fiance, my brothers, my dad, my future father-in-law, all these guys came to help move all the stuff. Was I very helpful that day? No. I was the overseer. I kind of told people where to put things. I unpacked a couple of boxes of silverware. But I wasn't breaking the mold. You know what I mean? I wasn't lifting anything over my head. I was just there. Now, if I had gone to the nail salon or the hair salon all day while everyone moved my stuff, it would have looked bad. I would have looked like a jerk. That's what I compare this to. Sometimes it's not actually how much you're able to help. It's just appearing as though you want to help. It's as simple as that. It's optics. It does not take a genius to figure that out. Now, what I will say is, for all the people who are going to call up and say, Grace, you're turning into a softie. You're going left. I'm not. I don't think this is a huge deal. Especially when you compare it to, I don't know, let's say Andrew Cuomo and the nursing home scandal. There are definitely bigger fish to fry. And the great part about this is, we live in such a crazy time. What do they always say on those commercials? An unprecedented time. One thing that is consistent, no matter what the situation, the Democrats will overplay their hand. And that's exactly what they're doing with this Ted Cruz thing. I yesterday was reading this story and I was like, oh, what a dummy. That's such a stupid move. He just handed them a story. Because Ted Cruz knows going in that, you know, he's going to get 10 times worse coverage than any Democrat. He knows that. You know, he's not an unknown politician. He's Ted Cruz. These people hate him. So that's the part I find funny, is that he knows that and he still does it. Now, with that being said, it's ridiculous to try to say this is the biggest deal ever. The Democrats should just take this as a win for them and say, wow, look at Ted Cruz, so heartless, and just run with that for a little bit. But they can't do that. They have to take it to such a degree that someone like myself, who's looking at this situation and kind of looking, thinks it looks bad on Ted Cruz, they come at him so hard that all of a sudden I'm starting to think, okay, pump the brakes here. Like, it's not that bad. That's what they do. Because they beat a dead horse. And right now that dead horse is this Ted Cruz story. And I'll give you a perfect example, okay? One of the reporters from New York Magazine actually posted a story. And this was the title. Snowflake. Or, well, the actual title was Ted Cruz Ditched His Poodle for Cancun. But the title on the tweet was Snowflake Was Left at Home While the Senator and His Family Slipped Away to Mexico. So you read that, and what do you think? You think that he's pulling a Mitt Romney. He's, you know, he hates his dog. I think Mitt Romney was accused of a, I don't even know if it was an accusation. I think he did leave his dog on top of his car.
Yeah.
In the crate, obviously.
In a crate, yes.
Not freewheeling up there. But still not a great look for Mitt Romney. He was, you know, that was...
Not very fun for the dog either.
I don't know. You get a dog that... It was a cold out?
Would you like to be strapped in a crate on the top of a moving vehicle? When it is cold out, yes.
It was cold out. Okay, yeah, probably not. But did Mitt Romney pay the price for that decision? Yes. It was one of the major reasons that he didn't become president. There was a few other big ones. But they used that against him. He was a dog abuser, you know, an animal abuser. That was a common theme because of that mistake. That's when you read this story and you see the picture of Snowflake, Ted Cruz's dog, staring out, you know, the glass door. You think, oh, wow, this guy, not only did he go to Cancun, but he left his dog alone in the house. He ditched Snowflake. And then you read down, you read the fine print. This is from the reporter from New York Magazine. As I approached to knock, a man stepped out of the Suburban parked in Cruz's driveway. Is this Senator Cruz's house? I asked. He said it was, that Cruz wasn't home and identified himself as a security guard. When asked who was taking care of the dog, the guard volunteered that he was. Reassured of the dog's well-being, I returned to my car. Before leaving, though, I took a picture of the house from my car window, making sure not to include the house address. And the best way I saw somebody summarize this was this guy. He said, I'm in the camp that thinks Cruz messed up here, but holy hell, it's amazing what this group of wannabe Woodwards can find when they're actually motivated to research a story. That's the part that drives me crazy. It's like, so you guys have sat on the Hunter Biden story. That's a treasure trove of information. You sat on the Andrew Cuomo story, and now this dumb mistake from a politician, it's causing you guys to do all this research. Now texts are coming out from his wife. They're acting like this is the biggest thing they've ever seen. And it's just so transparent. We're going to have more of this. They can't give it up. And in fact, ABC World News spent 54 seconds on Andrew Cuomo last night. You know how long they spent on Ted Cruz? 3 minutes and 28 seconds on his Cancun mistake. One guy made a dumb move. That would be Ted Cruz. The other guy made deadly moves. That would be Andrew Cuomo. Do you see the difference? Do you see how it gets frustrating to hear these people lecture us? And, I mean, I said it before. He should have seen this bleep storm coming his way. I guess he said, oh, yeah, he regretted it once he was on the flight. But, I mean, you know, I'm not a Harvard grad, and I would know not to do that. But they just... They cannot just let a good thing happen. They have to overdo it and beat it till it's dead. And that's what they're doing right now. We're going to have more of this. And I'm not going to talk about Ted Cruz anymore. This was really my spiel on that. That's all I have to say. It was stupid. And I don't think it's that important. But on the other side, what I want to talk about is a story I do think is important. Andrew Cuomo. And how now all of a sudden that Andy's good press has gone away, people like Dr. Fauci are suddenly, they're suddenly backing down. They're suddenly no comment from Dr. Fauci. We'll be back on the other side. 844-500-4242. I see you guys on the call lines. We'll take a lot of calls today. It's Friday. This is Grace Curley.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We have a lot to get to. I do want to get into this Andrew Cuomo. We have updates for you. Every day there's new updates, even though you won't hear about it on CNN from his brother Fredo. You won't hear it on ABC or NBC, at least not over the 1 minute mark. You're going to hear about it during the Grace Curley Show. I have so many wonderful Cuomo updates. But first, Lee, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Lee.
Grace.
Yes.
What should get more coverage? Biden sleeping for 3 days over the presidential weekend or Cruz taking off for 24 hours?
No,
and will it come back to bite him if he runs for president?
And I totally agree with you on that, that there is a huge double standard. But we know that. Do you know what I'm saying, Lee? Like, we know going in that there that double standard exists. You got to kind of use your head sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah, and as far as Joe Biden's concerned, I agree with that as well. I mean, I don't know where this guy's been. He's been playing Mario Kart. He's been, you know, I know he's early to bed, according to Newsweek, and he likes to stoke the fire. But besides that, I haven't really seen him. John, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, you know, Donald Trump, President Trump, was out in front of the press constantly his entire first term as president. So that's it's not the reason I called, but Ted Cruz made a mistake. There's no doubt about it. But the feigned outrage constantly from the left just cracks me up. I mean, you had a, I'm going to call him the fake sitting president, the other night on CNN, on Anderson Cooper, say that the vaccine came out while Biden was president. And Anderson Cooper didn't correct him.
And John, I think a point that I was trying to make, which you just said really well, is that they have such fake outrage over this and they overdo it so much that by the time they're done, you're kind of back on Ted Cruz's side because you're like, yeah, you made a stupid mistake, but I don't think the guy should resign over it.
Exactly right. Exactly right, Grace. Did Nancy Pelosi say anything when she did that stupid salon thing?
No, John, actually, I'm going to run through that really quick for everyone. Nancy Pelosi not only yelled at the press for asking her about it, said that she was set up and blamed the hair salon owner, and then said, so first she said she was the victim of a setup. Then she turned it at the end to say, I've received so many phone calls from other hair salon owners who are thanking me for what I've done. So she was not just the victim in that situation. She later became the hero of that situation.
I have been inundated by people who are in the hair service industry saying, thank you for calling attention to this. We need to get back to work.
Exactly. And John, stay on the line because I want to run this one by you. Chris Cuomo, if anyone in this situation does not have a leg to stand on, it's Chris Cuomo. He goes on Twitter and calls out a Texas mayor. And listen to this. He's lambasting a Texas politician while his brother, Governor Andrew Cuomo, faces calls to resign and impeachment inquiries. In a Thursday morning tweet, the younger Cuomo posted an article about a Texas mayor who stepped down from office after calling his constituents lazy amid a massive power outrage. Ready for Cuomo's tweet? Resign or apologize and learn and become a better leader? Question mark. That's what Chris Cuomo had to say. Do you think at any point, John, in his mind, he thinks, maybe I sit this one out?
No, the guy has no self-awareness, Grace. Isn't that rich of him to say that when his brother is doing stuff that the history is always written by the winners? They're going to lie about this guy, his brother, the murderer that his brother is.
Well, that's the thing, too. And John, your connection's not great, but I do appreciate the call, 844-500-4242. Well, we take more calls all day. That is the point, is that Andrew Cuomo has gotten such a pass from the media, and this sudden interest is just pathetic. And in the 1 o'clock hour, I'm going to talk to Eddie Scarry from Washington Examiner, and I like how he's saying, when do we get an apology from the press? Like, instead of just pretending now that we're giving them kudos for finally looking into this story, what about all the months and months they spent praising this guy and acting like he was a god? And now they're pretending, oh, you know, it might not be the image that he has created might not be true. I'm sorry, but you guys created the image for him. Let's be honest. I do want to get into this Andrew Cuomo, though. So if you missed yesterday, Andrew Cuomo got into a heated conversation with New York Assemblyman Ron Kim. And Ron Kim went to the press. He told them Andrew Cuomo called him up and said things along the line of, I'm going to destroy you. You'll feel my wrath. Who do you think you are? You know, You could picture Andrew Cuomo saying those things. He was bullying him. And I have a few updates. Since Andrew Cuomo's legacy has begun to unravel, one person that a lot of people thought we should ask about it is Dr. Fauci, because Dr. Fauci's had like a bromance with Andrew Cuomo. Listen to this old cut of Fauci and Cuomo talking about how they're modern day De Niro's and Pacino's. This is cut 17.
Maybe we enlist you. I'll do it with you. We'll do an ad telling New Yorkers it's safe to take the vaccine to you know, put us together. We're like the modern day De Niro and Pacino. You can be whichever you want. You can be the De Niro or Pacino. Fauci and Cuomo, I'll give you a firm. Who do you want to be, De Niro or Pacino? Which one do you want to be?
I love them both. I love them both. I don't want to insult one or the other.
Okay, so yeah, you get the point. It's gross. It's totally gross. Dr. Anthony Fauci over the summer praised New York's response to the coronavirus pandemic, saying the state did it correctly. Then he, you know, obviously had that awful conversation. And so it makes sense that the reasonable question from the media would be, hey, Dr. Fauci, what do you think now? And to his credit, Jim Sciutto actually did ask Dr. Fauci. This is cut 5.
Final question. You're a New Yorker yourself, though. You don't live there right now. Andrew Cuomo is coming under a fair amount of criticism now for the big move back to long-term care facilities in the midst of this crisis here. He's argued that his state was following federal guidelines when he ordered those long-term care facilities to accept patients returning from hospitals. I wonder, can you clear that up? Was he actually following federal guidelines to do that?
You know, Jim, I can't. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm honestly not trying to evade your question, but I'm not really sure of all the details of that. And I think if I make a statement, it's probably could either be incorrect or taken out of context. So I prefer not to comment on that.
We wouldn't want something you said to turn out to be incorrect, right, Dr. Fauci? I mean, you've only been wrong on masks, on herd immunity. You've moved the goalpost a million zillion times. But you're right. We wouldn't want something about Andrew Cuomo to be taken out of context. This guy cracks me up. I just have to laugh at this point.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask.
That was Fauci last March, so almost a full year today. We'll have to do like an anniversary party the day of the 1 year of that comment. But Fauci, he really doesn't cease to amaze me. His arrogance is different than Cuomo's. You know, they have different personas, but it's right up there with Cuomo's. I mean, this guy will comment on the COVID relief bill as if he's a politician. He'll comment on your Super Bowl parties. He'll comment on school reopenings. He'll comment on his love for Rachel Maddow. But he can't comment on Andrew Cuomo, this governor that he worshipped a few months ago. He yucked it up with on TV. That would be too much. What a fraud. And by the way, I saw this today, the latest Democratic fundraising email from the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee. Guess whose face is on it? Fauci. It says, sign the card to congratulate Dr. Fauci. Dr. Anthony Fauci was just chosen to receive the highly prestigious Dan David Prize. We need 15,000 Democrats to join us in congratulating him for this great honor. Please make sure your name is on the card. Congratulations, Dr. Fauci. It is so pathetic. But I don't want to lose my train of thought here, because the Cuomo story gets even richer. You're never going to guess who's chiming in now. Alec Baldwin. It really is amazing, because if you got Alec Baldwin and you've got Andrew Cuomo, arguably New York's two biggest blowhards. I mean, they are so obnoxious.
You got to consider the source. You have to consider the source.
You're right, Alec. I've never been a huge fan of yours, so people should consider the source. The source is Grace Curley, and, you know, she's a little biased against Alec. But these two people have documented at this point anger issues. According to Bill de Blasio, Andrew Cuomo's rage is nothing new. He makes these calls all the time in New York. And then, of course, Alec Baldwin, I mean, who can forget that infamous message he left to his daughter where I think he called her like a little pig or something. I don't know the exact words. And then he gets in fights with people over parking spots in New York. He gets in fights with the paparazzi. This guy has no shortage of bad press stories about his rage. And you, once again, you would think that he would maybe say to himself, I'm not going to make a comment about a phone call gone bad because I've had my own phone calls go bad. But nope, he weighs in and says that he thinks if Ron Kim's story is true, Andrew Cuomo should resign. Can you imagine Andrew Cuomo reading that? One liberal hypocrite turning on another. You hate to see it. Guys, when we get back on the other side, we'll be talking more about this and the Democrats' latest obsession with Donald Trump. I mean, this new bill they're trying to pass is really absurd. 844-500-4242. I'm Grace Curley, and this is The Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. TGIF, people. Thank God it's Friday. I'm going to first throw it out to the phone lines. Kevin, you're next with Grace on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Kevin.
How's it going, Grace?
Good. What's going on?
Not too much. Listen, I got to tell you, I love your show. You're doing a great job, and I didn't realize that you were using the same number as Howie Carr. I was trying to dial a 617 number. anyway, I called to ask your producer what your theme song was because I love it.
Oh, Tavares!
And I'm driving a truck. So what's the name of the song?
Tavares, Don't Take Away the Music. And it's so fitting right now because it feels like when they tell us that we can't sing at our gatherings, they really are trying to take away our music.
Oh, it's awful. I'm a part-time musician. I play and sing on the weekends, and luckily I'm in New Hampshire, so I can do it. But I have friends that play in Mass. They're not allowed to sing, so they're in there doing instrumentals with their acoustic guitar. I don't know how they're pulling it off.
They're a great band, Kevin. You should check them out. Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel. I mean, they have so many great jams. Make sure you check out Tavares. And thank you for the call. Thank you for the compliment. I really appreciate everyone who's been giving this show a chance and listening to it every day. It means the world to me. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Fallens Bee Inn. I have a very important announcement for you guys. Two rooms are cleared up. There's been a lot of weather, you know, issues right now with people trying to travel. And so two people had to cancel and their rooms are available. So if you did not get a room yesterday when you called because they were sold out, you can try again today for a little while. Go to FallensBeeIn.com. You may be able to get one of the rooms. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Fallens Bee Inn. My listener weekend is this Friday, February 19th. It's a great gift and it's going to be a great time. I'm so excited. To reserve your room, go to FallensBeeIn.com. Taylor, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What has been Trump's greatest post-presidency move? Creating the office of the former president, resigning from SAG-AFTRA, letter calling out Mitch McConnell, or rejecting Nikki Haley's meeting request?
Now, the one that made me laugh the hardest was the SAG one or the creating the office of the former presidency, but that's not the question. The best move was rejecting Nikki Haley's request to meet at Mar-a-Lago because he needs... If he's going to do this in 2024, that was his biggest mistake the first time around, was trusting these swamp creatures.
That's coming in at third right now at 21%. At first place is the letter calling out Cocaine Mitch. 31% say the office of the former president. Nobody has voted for the SAG after a resignation.
Really? People definitely don't remember how hilarious that letter was. It was amazing. Duke, you're next with Grace on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Duke.
Oh, hi, Grace. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
I want to I met you a few times over the years, Howie's book signing.
Oh.
Howie's, and most recently at the, I was a VIP back in September. What I'm calling for is congratulations on the great job you're doing.
Thank you.
You're going to have a long, illustrious career in Boston. I'm calling because the reason, one of the big reasons that the governor's put, the New York governor put that person in a nursing home is the nursing home owners have a lobbying group, and it's called the National Association of Nursing Home Owners. They give money to this organization, and this organization donates heavily to the governors of all states, because in all the states, basically the governors, they make the, their administration makes a decision of where to put someone who needs nursing home care. I know the VA has, the veterans has something. If you're a war veteran, you would be paid for by the VA nursing home care program. You'd be in a VA hospital and something comes up and they're going to outplace you into a nursing home.
Now, Duke, I do appreciate the call and I so appreciate your kind comments. I do wonder, though, about Andrew Cuomo, because the nursing home situation, he kept blaming the federal government. And I was listening to Dana Lash today, one of her podcasts, and she was saying he keeps saying that that was a guideline from the federal government, but he made it into an edict and he told these nursing homes they had no choice. So I'm glad they're opening an investigation into him, because I'm curious why he wouldn't have used the massive ships that Trump brought into New York for those people, unless the reason, which is really going to be a huge issue, is if the reason was that he did not want to give Trump the good press. That to me, because we've had people on the show before who have said this, it is a pandemic, mistakes will be made along the way, and a lot of people give a lot of grace to these political people who might not necessarily make the right decision at first, as long as you kind of own up to it and correct it. But if the reason he didn't do that was to spite Donald Trump, I think that is evil. I think that is a terrible, terrible, terrible thing, and I think he deserves to... I know he's never going to go to jail, but he deserves to go to jail for that, for letting his ego kill all of these people. That's essentially what it is. But I don't know that yet. We'll find out. I hope they do a really thorough investigation into Andrew Cuomo, and I hope we get to the bottom of it. Guys, I have Eddie Scarry coming up on the other side from the Washington Examiner. I'm going to ask him about Andrew Cuomo. I'm going to ask him about the southern border. I have a lot of great questions for him and about the teachers' unions. If you have not seen this story out of San Francisco, it's amazing. A bunch of teachers were bad-mouthing parents on a Zoom call, and they didn't realize the entire call was public. We got the sound. It's amazing. Guys, don't go anywhere. 844-500-4242. I'm Grace Curley. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.